So this is something that people don't really know, but the controversy that we've had lately as far as the college systems, talking about and educating things that honestly should not be discussed, and not in terms of controlling the speech, but in terms of just their excessive material that has no practical application in today's market and in day-to-day life. So those things are not just in the college system. They're also in the Jewish system as well, as far as the yeshiva system. I personally went through multiple yeshivas that were also discussing this. And, you know, and there are people, I'm sure, that have plenty of issues with the college system. And I assure you, you're not alone. I had the same issue with the private schools, and it would not surprise me if they have the same issues in the Catholic schools. Feel free to say if you have the same issues, but basically things like this. Should they be discussing things like algebra, things like trigonometry, as far as your career choice? For instance, if you're planning on becoming a handyman, okay, or if you're planning on becoming an electrician or a plumber, if you're planning on becoming a musician, do you need to know algebra? The answer is no, you don't.
But it is helpful.
But
the gears going.
Why do you need to study things that don't have any practical application to whatever it is that you plan on learning? And when you're in high school, do you really know what you plan on learning? I didn't. I had no idea. I had one plan in 9th grade. I had multiple plans in 10th grade, multiple plans in 11th grade. I had no idea where I was going to be going. But I could tell you what would have been more useful for me. Don't mind me. I'm already like a few beers in. So I'm just speaking freely. You know, it's speakeasy. Okay. What would have been more useful for me would have been something like development of hobbies into things that would have become better when it comes to professions. You know, for instance, let's say I want to become an electrician. So they should be, developing electrical skills. Should becoming an electrician be something that takes 10 years? That's what the standard is today. The standard is today is that you have to go to school for 10 years. What other careers do you have to go 10 years for? I'll tell you. Do you want to become a surgeon? You got to go 10 years. Do you want to become a psychiatrist? You got to go 10 years. Do you want to become an electrician? You got to go 10 years. Does that make any sense to you? Should you have to study for 10 years to become an electrician? What if you're just very good at electrical systems and you can study the entire thing and literally master it inside of 6 months and then apprentice with someone for another 6 months? Why are you underqualified after a year compared to someone who's literally spending 10 years wasting every breath they take for the rest of the 9 years in school because of what? Because of a stupid system? Are they any more qualified after 10 years compared to someone who now who dropped out of school inside of the first year and now has 9 years experience actually on the job repairing repairing different systems in people's houses, running things commercial, running LED lighting, low voltage, regular voltage, it doesn't matter. Are you any more qualified because what? Because you wasted 9 years of your life in school. You wasted hundreds of thousands of dollars on stupid schooling that you never needed in the first place. What, that makes you more qualified? No, that makes you a moron. Okay, but it's not your fault. The fault is when it comes to the system. There is no need for a system like that. No need at all. If anything, I propose this idea. I think that electricians should be able to get some kind of tax cut, okay, by apprenticing people like me and people like you that, let's say, want to become an electrician. I personally have tried electrical work. I like it, okay? Do I see myself becoming an electrician? No, but I totally understand people that do want to. And I think that, you know, electricians should be able to get some kind of a tax cut by apprenticing people and training them in on actual things that happen on the job. What do you really learn from the book? You learn 10% of what you're going to learn on the job. 90% you're going to learn on the job. And there are even, let's say, 60%. The rest of it, shit happens. You're going to learn on the job. Should you need to spend 10 years in school? No. There are plenty other examples of things that you should not have to spend that much time in school studying, things that have no practical application to what you're going to be doing to provide for your family or provide for yourself, you know, enjoy your vacations, enjoy your cruises, whatever it is.
Yeah, it does sound a bit outlandish.
You should not have to go through a ridiculous amount of schooling to then use 10% of it. And because of the classes, other 90% you're going to learn on the job.
Most of the classes they give you are also topics on topics that are not related to any of the specialty that you decided to go for in college. When they make you pay these crazy interest rates and marginal standards that they have for everyone in order to maintain a steady flow of income for their pockets and revenue that would have never existed other than for the interest rate hikes that they've created on these loans.
It's 100%. It's just a business for them to make money on the student loans. And at the same time, does that work for you?
Like, for example, if
you want to become a doctor.
Yeah, and I went to a bartender
school. If you want to become a doctor, why should you have to start at 18? Why can't you start at 16? If you're, there's a specific type of people that want to become doctors, okay? They don't just suddenly decide that at 18 or 20. It's a specific mindset. It's a different sensitivity. Okay, not everyone can handle blood. Not everyone wants to help. You know, some people become doctors because it's a choice. Do you want to become a doctor? Do you want to become a butcher? Or do you want to become a serial killer? In other words, do you want to make money?
I don't think serial killers make money.
Honestly, I think unless they're
in the private military forces that get hired by these foreign governments to commit all types of, you know,
right. But at the same time, that they all have in common is that craving for blood. Some people want to help. Some people want to help.
I mean, I hear
in
the
other
spy
words,
industry
they want to have that reputation of
thriving.
Wanting to help because they have some kind of guilt trip going on. Because they have a craving for blood, and you know, and the other people become butchers. As far as dealing with food that we eat, don't worry.
personally, you heard that recent talk on Rogan's.
Personally,
podcast
I love to cook.
He was explaining the process of organic food, from his farm in Georgia.
I haven't heard that, but I could tell you that 80% of what I cook with, I grow.
You know, it's funny when you said that
just
the entire neighborhood started
trees, even though I personally will not benefit from it for another 7 years. But once my trees start to give fruit, my kids will have that opportunity to be able to, you know, pick the fruit off the tree. It's probably not going to be here in Brooklyn because a lot of things that I'm growing just won't make it through the winter in Brooklyn. Growing them inside, so it's fine.
If you need another grower, I just found a shop in Brooklyn where they legally sell clones, but the clones are a little bit overpriced. They're like around $100, but the seeds are $10, which is way cheaper.
What?
They're $100 clones, but they're like 3 feet.
Clones of
what? Weed. But they're 3 feet long.
I mean, I personally don't smoke.
And it's a storefront. Like the way they have it in Los Angeles, they have it in New York.
I'm
going to
want to take that number because I have had a lot of people ask me about that. Because as soon as I go, I grow my own fruits and veggies, they go, you grow weed. No, I don't. I personally don't smoke.
Yeah, you said it makes you paranoid, I think, right?
Yeah, but I
does that to certain people.
Whatever, some people have that side effect, some people don't, you know.
And I'm sure you probably tried like shrooms and whatnot.
Never, actually.
Really? Oh, you're
never.
Missing out on all that.
I brew my own beer. I make my own whiskey.
I grow my own vegetables
and I grow my own herbs.
You've
and I will tell you when it comes to cooking,
Have you branded it?
There is nothing comparable to using fresh herbs when it just when it comes to making whatever it is. If you're using dried oregano, I'm sorry. Shame on you.
Hey bro,
go to the store and get fresh oregano. Do not try to water clone it, which basically just means taking the leftovers and putting it in water. It won't root very well in water, but if you put it in soil, you'll have your own fresh oregano. Basil will root well in water.
You mean
parsley? You can grow from seed. It grows very quickly, and it's and every 2-3 months you just put in, or every month you put in more seeds. It will just continue to grow. You'll love it. You'll enjoy it. I have never had any complaints from using fresh spicing.
You ever try hydroponics?
I do hydroponics. Not only that.
Aeroponics.
What is that?
In air. And water
aeroponics.
Submerged.
Aeroponics.
Yeah, it's almost like hydroponics, but on steroids.
So I do aeroponics in my mom's place.
Because the roots are
but
exposed.
But not every plant can do that. Some of them do, some of them don't. I have some aeroponics plants over there, but I do air rooting for some of my fruit trees, which basically once they grow to a certain height and I want to grow the roots from those fruit trees. So I'll basically put a little bit of rooting hormone, which can
you
be...
adjust the pH level of the water and
So that
and
I don't even... I honestly use tap water. And it works great.
But you,
I use things like honey. The water filtration in New York is great. New York City.
I've been using it as hot water because my teapot kettle broke.
I use honey as a rooting hormone. I use aspirin.
For my tea.
Also, ground up aspirin is a great rooting hormone. And if all else fails, you could even use just straight sugar. It works. You just put a little bit on the roots or on the stem, and put it in water, put it in soil. But in any case, basically the concept is this: you're going to school to learn so many things that you're not going to use in your day-to-day life. Why aren't the schools giving you skills that you're going to use in your day-to-day life? Why, when you go to high school, don't you think that they should give you a year's worth of, let's say, handyman stuff? What? When you get married, or you don't, whatever it is, you buy a house, you want to take care of that house, right? Should you have to spend over the course of 10 years, the average is about $100,000 to hire it out. Should you hire it out, or should you be sitting at home going, it's too hard, I have to call somebody, I don't know who to call? Stop being a wimp, okay? Open YouTube and learn it yourself at this point, because the schools don't provide those types of material. They don't teach you how to do things. I will tell you, when it comes to putting in your own toilet, okay? Ridiculously easy. The first time, it might be a little bit complicated, but once you do it that first time, you know how to do it. And you can take 95% of the skills that you learned with putting in that toilet, and now you can change your sink. Okay? It's the same thing. Different size pipe.
Also, maybe building a wall.
Even when it comes to building a wall, putting in insulation.
Because Trump couldn't finish one.
Even things like spackling, sanding. These are all things that you probably did as a kid at one time or another, okay? You think that because you sanded when you were a kid that now that you don't have that skill? You did it once, you'll do it again. People pay a lot of money for it. Just because you didn't get paid when you were a kid doesn't mean that you can't profit off of that.
You just got to have a good elevator pitch.
100%. And at the end of the day, whatever it is that makes you happy, whatever it is that you enjoy, do it. Because the last thing you want to do is be stuck in a job that you hate. Because something like that, you go home, you don't have freedom when you go home. You go home and you're stuck with that, I hate my job.
Well, yeah.
And you're doing everything. When you're at home, when you're supposed to be on break, when you're supposed to be relaxing, your mind is just full with how do I get out of that job.
I mean, like, I'd rather make music.
If you don't enjoy a job,
instead of podcasting,
if you don't enjoy a job, don't take it. But at the end of the day, make sure that your bills are covered. And I know that to some people, let's say, that are unemployed, that may sound difficult. If you have basic skills like how to plaster, how to sand, it's literally just, can you wave your hand? Okay, now add a piece of sandpaper in that hand and boom, you know how to sand. Okay, you can learn on the job. The people that are going to be hiring you for that don't know what's flying. But at the same time, they're willing to pay you to do it. Okay, so learn on the job. Open YouTube for 5 minutes. You know how to do it. And
yeah,
take care of those bills. And you know what? At the end of the day,
or find a woman who will take care of your bills.
Yeah. And at the end of the week, if you know, you'll know, is this something that you enjoy? Is this something that you don't enjoy?
There's plenty of rich women out there.
Yeah. And you know what? Let's say you don't want to do it for a living. You find a nice woman that'll take care of you. Or you find a nice woman to take care of, okay? Or whatever it is, whatever floats your boat. You find a nice man to take care of. I don't care who's listening to this or whatever.
Gender roles reversed.
Whatever your sexual orientation, there are only two genders, okay? Let's just be honest.
No, but some cougars, they like to pamper a man.
Right. But at the end of the day,
if you're a homeowner or he's a homeowner,
whatever it is.
And she bought me mad beers.
Whoever the homeowner is, they are going to benefit from those skills. Whether it's you or whether it's them, someone is going to benefit from those skills. You're going to save yourself close to $100,000, if not more, inside of 10 years, simply by knowing the basics of how the things in your house works. Walk around your house, go, how do I change that outlet? How do I change that light switch? How do I change that light? How do I change that sink? How do I change out that toilet? Go to YouTube, check that out. You will save yourself $100,000 inside of 10 years. And if you don't, then let me know.
Unless you drive a Beamer, then you're paying a lot for insurance. But, all right, that joke was
And CGI. Well, you can check on YouTube as far as how to save money on insurance and whether a Beamer is right for you.
You know, I don't know how many German people you've met, being that you actually wear a yarmulke on your head, but they don't know that I'm Jewish when they meet me, but maybe that's why they're so nice to me. So I'm wondering, like, what's your experience with German people, being that you're more Orthodox in terms of the impression you have?
I haven't met
people.
One German person.
Even though you're agnostic.
I've met nine!
Oh, really? Nein!
Yeah. Ich red Yiddish, aber ich verstehe Gönisch when it comes to German.
What the hell did that mean?
I speak Yiddish, which is very, very close to German.
Oh, really?
German is like Yiddish with an aggressive accent.
So is Yiddish a German derivative, or is German Yiddish derivative?
Yiddish is an 80% derivative of German.
Okay.
With some words from Polish, some words from Hungarian, some words from Russian, and some words from whatever language is around when people are speaking it. Like, for instance, people here who speak Yiddish will also incorporate words from Hebrew and words from English. It's a language that adapts to wherever they're living. Like, for instance, they'll say, "Ich gehe zu der Grocery mit der Car und ich darf Gas."
Yo, I understand everything you said, and I don't even know German, dude.
Exactly.
So that it's almost like, not to sound offensive, but it sounds kind of caveman, basic, like English almost, in a way.
Well, Yiddish,
where it's like
Yiddish
simple enough to hit the
In America, it's based on English. In Hebrew, it's based, and in Israel, it's based on Hebrew. It's an adaptive language, and it's a fun one to learn. And there are only two different accents, really, in Yiddish. There's the, let's say, European accent, and then there's the...
Wait, it's crazy how, like, the Russians and Ukrainian people are fighting one another when they're both the same people, really. And not because the Russians say it, either. I mean, they're white.
The governments are fighting. Most people who are
When was the last time you remember white people fighting white people?
Exactly. Usually it's fighting to keep the brown people, but
away.
My grandfather's side
or enslaved.
My grandfather's side is half Native American, so it's actually that's the fighting with the red people.
But they're not red. They're just
no. They are
tan.
My father's second cousin is Justin Trudeau. He's the black sheep of the family, which gives me solace.
Wait, Justin Trudeau? I read his book on natural remedies.
His mother. Wait, he wrote a book also?
He probably had it ghostwritten.
His mother wrote a book that was actually very intelligent. Him himself.
I'm Joseph, by the way.
Hey Joseph, would you like to be a part of our podcast? We're filming an episode for right now.
What I gotta do?
I don't know. We're talking
just
about
ask him a question. He's good. Don't worry.
Different issues of that people have a voice for to speak about in their neighborhood, but don't have the certain necessary means to get their word out. What's your experience with work, like, and how to find work in New York, and also.
Well, I would say the tax is just crazy. That's all.
Oh yeah, that's totally true. They tax poor people more than they do the rich, because the rich have figured out a way to incorporate themselves to not get taxed as much as the poor, in terms of like under a certain income level of, I guess everyone really pretty much makes the same amount of money in terms of their like hardships in what they do, in my opinion. But you can also call that like communism, which to me isn't much different than capitalism. If my opinion, if you,
I don't know. All I know is that, like, when it comes to taxes, for me, I'm single, so that means that I get taxed a lot of money.
Oh yeah, I get a return in money, and I didn't even know that. I was reading about that today about how
your
return
is not at all close to what you've been paying in taxes.
But,
no, it's not.
What if you just incorporate yourself as self-employed in Delaware? You don't have to pay anything.
I don't know about that.
But is that because of you think like? Something like that has to do with like the mafia.
At the end of the day, I have no idea about that. All I know is that like when it comes to New York,
because I mean we're both Jewish, so you might not even know anything about that, to be honest. Even if I asked you,
I don't know. I have no idea. All I know
exactly.
Is that tax wise in New York, it's just a shit ton of
it's like 35-45%, something like that. Because I remember I used to work as an extra on movie sets and television sets. Even for shit like Law and Order. And they would literally, I would get like a $360 check, $400 for like 15 hours of work. But at the end of the day, I would get like $250.
Oh, wow.
$275.
Let's come up with Ari Hirschkowitz.
But it would be like a $500 check or something. Like $450, $500. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn, I'm paying that much in taxes?
Right.
Why? You know, like, how do people like Elon Musk even make it from the basement on a couch to owning a $1 billion company and then losing some and still keeping it? You know, it's just people like us, like we get like, even though Mark Zuckerberg did that to the Winklevoss twins, I think that he doesn't speak for all Jewish people. And I feel like that's also probably one of the reasons why people have hate for us.
I don't know.
Because of Mark Zuckerberg and his like way in court with like the Winklevoss twins. You know that you've seen that movie, The Hummingbird, it's called High Frequency.
No.
It's called High Frequency, the movie.
No, I never saw it.
It's about like stock trading firms with high frequency bots and how they were trading mostly it was it was probably a different title for Facebook. Never mind. But it was the same actor, I remember.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, thanks for giving your opinion on something on this podcast episode. Hope everybody enjoyed that.
What's going on?
So we were mentioning how Italian people have like not to, you know, I have I'm actually
basically
under 2%
he thinks,
Italian.
Basically he thinks that Italians run the media and I think that Jews run the media, and I think that both
ridiculous.
And I think that at the same time both,
we don't get paid enough.
I think that both is true, and I'll tell you and I'll tell you why. It's easy to understand actually. See, Italians a lot of times most Italians are Catholics, right?
Yep.
Okay, now Italians and, I mean, Jews and Catholics, okay, have a lot in common. Some of them will admit it, some of them won't. Okay?
Yeah, they get criticized for being in the mafia, and the Jews Spanish, get criticized the same way like they do in the mafia, when most of them aren't even in the mafia.
Yeah, but it's not just it's not just the mafia. The mafia is that like we protect our own, they protect their own. Okay?
That's everyone in every culture.
That's everyone with a strong culture.
They don't want to be attacked. They don't want to be antagonized.
Right, they're going to stick with their own, like, because they have a lot more in common. And you know, and yeah, and they stick with their own communities. That's basically everyone on the freaking planet, okay? But at the same time, Jews have big families. Catholics have big families.
Now, what did Kanye say wrong that triggered everybody to react in such a way where it was against what his wishes were?
Because he was saying things that were like...
some things that were true,
He was saying like, oh, Jews control the media, okay?
Some
so
do.
Then what?
Other races
A lot of the media is controlled by Jews. So what? So
you're
going
to... Why does that compel people to hold up signs are you gonna that walk, are you right, gonna, like are you going to spark anti-Semitism?
No, but what's the problem with that? That's the thing. What's the problem with that? Why is it anti-Semitism? It's not anti-Semitism. We have big families, okay?
Like
we want to provide for our big families. It's not about excelling. It's not about genetics. It's not about culture. It's that we have, you know, it's that Jews in general, okay, have big families. Catholics in general have big families,
like, for example,
okay?
African Americans are very good at playing basketball.
And yeah, that's true. That's genetics, but that's still a separate thing. is that when it comes to big businesses, so what? So let's say I open a big business, okay? I open a business that makes close to $1 billion. What? So you think when I die that business is just gonna go belly up and that's it? No. I'm gonna pass that business on to my kids. You think that most people in Hollywood just like were entrepreneurs and just started out of the blue and opened a business and boom and that was it? No. They got, like most actors in today's day and age, their parents were actors, their grandparents were actors, and this is what they did. They built up a business and they got a certain amount of connections passed on from their family. They got a business that was passed on, and you know what? If they did well for it, good for them. Good for them. I'm happy for anyone who works in any business and builds it up and continuously makes it lucrative. You know what? Good for them. They have a good head for business. I'm happy for them, okay? I'm trying to do the same thing, and I'm not stepping on anyone's toes. But you know what? Well, listen, if I have to, I probably will. You know, but it's either join me or go against me or just, or let me sell to you, you know? If you're a customer, if you're a competition, whatever it is, I welcome it.
And that's like what I feel like Kanye was trying to prove with his White Lives Matter.
What Kanye was doing was like, oh, so they're Jewish, so they're in charge, so therefore what? You're still a piece of shit, okay?
Yeah.
But he still said White Lives Matter.
He said all lives matter.
And Jewish people are mostly white.
He said all lives matter. Right. And he said all lives matter, and there's nothing wrong with that, okay? All lives matter. And if you have a problem with that, take that, wrap it up in a piece of toilet paper, add a little bit of hot sauce, okay? And shove it up your ass. Because if you think that all lives don't matter, you have something seriously wrong in your head.
And I really think,
I believe that your life matters. I don't even know who you are. I don't know where you're from. I believe that your life matters. If you have a problem with that, you have a psychiatric problem, okay? I am here to tell you that your life matters.
He said it in a tone of anger.
What he was saying was like, oh, when he said all lives matter, what he was actually trying to say in some way by blaming Jews in that sense is that for some reason he thinks that he's the God of everything and that he doesn't have, and somehow, like what, he doesn't have what it takes to make it. You know what? One of the songs when I was growing up, okay, that I really enjoyed was from him. In the night, I hear them talk. The coldest story ever told. Somewhere far along this road, he lost his soul to a woman so heartless. Kanye, what happened to you?
He predicted his own future.
What happened to you? What, you think you're some kind of genius? Maybe you are on some things, okay? But take the ego down a notch. There are big singers in the Jewish music world, okay, which is an entirely different world on its own. If you look up Miami Boys Choir, you'll see what's trending right now.
And Drake. They don't mention Drake.
You know Neeson Black?
Because he's not trending.
I slept in his penthouse a few times in Ramat Beit Shemesh, okay? The guy is so chilled. He has a bunch of kids already. I knew him before he even converted to Judaism. I used to smoke weed with him. He probably won't admit that, but whatever. Back in the day, I used to smoke weed with him, okay? And that's not bragging. Today, I will tell you, I went to visit him a couple of months ago when I was in Israel. The sweetest, down-to-earth guy, takes very good care of his kids.
Because
his kids
say,
are very well
Christian
behaved.
Side of the family, they're too kind. Like my father, he's Christian. My
he
mother
does well.
Jew. He's too kind to my mother. She does you know, scold him a little bit too much for things that are not that serious. I will admit that, you know, being a half Jew, and like that's what most people don't understand. Like I met one of those like police officers one day that was for he said he used to work for the NYPD, but yep. He ended up transitioning to the Jewish police force.
Shmira or Shomrim?
Shmira. Yeah, I didn't know there was a
Staten Island or Bar Park
in Brooklyn.
Oh, Bar Park.
And
okay,
he just stopped me and my friend one day when we were around, and I'll be honest, like at the time we were on coke and all that, but he didn't stop us for that. He was just trying to make sure that we were safe, and there wasn't anything that we needed help with and all that.
Yeah,
and I admired him for that because like he also said, he goes, oh, like he already knew kind of like that I was like, I guess he did his background check on me or something. He knew I was like,
they have their connections. Yeah, I'll tell you that much. I know a lot of these people.
And
yeah.
He was kind of like smiling. He goes like, I totally understand you, bro. And like your frustrations with the public and like things you mentioned in terms of topics you bring up and all that. And I'm like, well, really, cause this is not really the response I was getting from the NYPD for the longest time.
Right. The NYPD, put it this way, they will not invite you to their house for a meal, okay? But these Shmira and Shomrim guys, if you play nice and you get along with them
and you
look at them and you go, listen, I'm hungry, I haven't even had breakfast today, okay? I guarantee you they will...
But you control the media, bro.
I guarantee you they'll invite you over for a meal, okay? But they're not, you know, it's Brooklyn, right? They're not stupid. So what they're going to do is they're going to go into the house. No, you're going to be sitting on the front steps. They're going to go into the house. They're going to be like to the wife, you know, Fradi. That's just a stereotypical name, whatever. They'll be like a Razi, whatever. They'll be like, listen, there's a guy. No, not at all. They'll be like, listen, there's a guy I just saw. He's whatever. He's a little down on his luck.
You ever seen the show
Hunters? He wants something to eat. And I'm telling you, you'll get some home-cooked food. I'm not guaranteeing how it's going to taste. I don't know. I personally love to cook, and honestly, I don't eat in Bar Park. But I will tell you, you're not going to walk away hungry. They take care of their own, and when it comes to doing a good deed, you could always count on them. Always. That's just how they are. That's how I was raised. That's how they were raised. But when it comes to Kanye... Okay,
I was about to mention him again because he brings up a bigger issue with people than it is with him.
I'll tell you why Kanye is pissed off. Okay, first of all, I don't know what was with the name change. That's a separate thing. Okay, the whole yay thing. I don't know when yay or nay, whatever. But when's the last time that Kanye came out with a legit good song?
I mean, he's already made his money, so he doesn't care what he says.
How does a singer stay current?
It causes anger from the outside community towards the Jewish people that did nothing to anyone.
Right, but his anger should not be at the Jewish people. If anything, he should take his emotions.
Why bring it up now?
Sit in front of.
Why bring it up now?
He should take his emotions.
Why and, after he's
and
successful,
do what every,
he's already exploited
do what every,
our level of understanding the system
well, he,
in order to
he,
profit off
he,
of it.
He thinks
it,
that
for
he's
him
some...
to take us down and throw us under the bus with him. Whether
but, no,
whether,
but at the same time, he thinks he's some kind of genius.
I mean,
right?
He,
what is a mu- what
with,
is music?
With all due respect, he is. He
no,
is.
No, but right.
But that
well,
doesn't give
yes
him the
no.
ability
being,
to be arrogant. In order to...
He's being arrogant and he's being a moron.
...sow violence within any community.
Right. And everyone's
and
laughing
sure,
about it.
And sure, he's apologized for it, but that doesn't exclude from the fact that it's already caused anger
it,
towards...
did it really?
People
I think
that are
I, mean,
strictly
from what I've,
Jewish.
From what I've seen,
which
there
I
was...
respect.
From what I've seen, there was a lot of backlash about it, but nobody's saying, oh, go out and kill Kanye. From what I'm hearing, honestly, from the musician community, is like, come on, Kanye, take that emotion... Sit in front of your stupid computer. Open up
realize
your record.
You have
open up your recording
of followers
software.
That are affected by what you say.
Well, no, it's he.
And I understand you want to troll. You want to profit. You want
that's
people
what
to
he's
know
doing
your name,
now.
But now it's causing the exact opposite of what you desired in terms of your.
That's what he's doing
the
now.
Effect
yeah.
you wanted on getting more attention. Now,
if he wants to get attention, how about this?
All that money he's made.
How about this? Take
won't
that emotion.
Matter if he has no respect in the street when he walks outside.
No, he should take that. Honestly, I think he does have some serious talent. I've heard some of his songs, and I think that honestly, he
and
should
I've
take
inspired.
Whatever emotion, yeah. whatever emotion it, he's having, whether it's if it's writer's block. Okay, take that emotion. Open up your computer. Okay, stay up all night. I've done it before. I've done it many, many times. You stay up all night. Okay, and you. Pour that emotion into recording a new song. If you have that
instead
high
of
emotion,
anger
you have,
like the news stations
no,
do
the
that
anger,
you told us not
use
to listen
the anger.
To.
That's what I'm
he
saying.
He was the
use
one who
the
told
anger.
Me not to listen to the news, and that's only been a positive effect in my life.
But I'm saying use the anger.
I don't take them as
use
seriously.
Use the anger. It's a strong emotion. Strong emotion, when it comes to music, always results in good music.
But what
you know,
have these
sometimes
people,
it takes
okay,
a few months
okay,
for people to appreciate it.
He has an issue
it,
with these Jewish leaders within media.
He has
what
an
is
issue with
that,
him not coming out with a not
what
coming.
What is the issue? He hasn't mentioned
his
it.
His issue
he
is
just
that
says
he has
they're Jewish and they own
no,
the media.
No, he has writer's block.
Which
he hasn't come out with a good song in a while,
form of
and
evil
and he hasn't come out with a good song in a while. And
that
I'm
just
sure
divides
his
people.
Jewish bosses are like, dude, come out with a good song. They're his producers. You know, if I'm producing someone, okay,
yeah, like,
and they have
his name Cohen, last name Cohen, first name, I think it was David Cohen, or what was his first name?
I know Shlomi. He's an amazing saxophone player. Look up Shlomi Shlomi Cohen. You will. This guy is absolutely freaking insanely talented. I've done many weddings with him. And he's not just a wedding musician. He's
catered,
an amazingly,
I used
amazingly
to hand
talented.
Out
it's basically if I was producing anyone, okay, and they went 2 years, okay, without buying a song from anyone or putting out anything, okay, I'm gonna get on their case. I'm gonna be like, listen, dude, you wanna stay current, today's day and age, right? You gotta come out with at least a song a year. And you got to come out with a song that talks to people.
So you're thinking?
I think that he's
Kanye
just.
Will make
I think
a comeback
he's just
from all the nonsense he's
maybe,
stirred.
Maybe not.
The media.
But if he does, he's going to have to make a count. And at the same time, he's come out with good stuff before, and I think he's going to have to work extra hard this time to like really prove himself and you know.
Because there's only so many times he can apologize. I mean, he
right.
If everyone hasn't heard his interviews,
Let him appreciate his talent.
They can't recognize
by at the same time he has to prove himself.
Remorse.
Still, you know, I know people that have. I know a singer, okay, that has literally. I have his first album that came out in 1973. His
I
name is Mordechai Ben David. Great.
You don't
MBD.
Seem that much older than me.
MBD. Okay, he's
that.
In his he's in his 70s already, or pretty close to it.
Oh, I thought you were talking.
He's
about an
amazingly,
album made, like,
amazingly talented Jewish singer, who has listeners global, at least 200,000 listens per or views on every song, whatever it is. Okay, per year.
Is he like an Andrea Bocelli?
Speaking of Andrea Bocelli, my mom actually dated
my mom loves him.
My mom dated his producer, David Foster. before my dad. Now, speaking of, my dad is actually getting married in 8 days. Not remarried this Monday, married? But next Monday. I'm playing the wedding, and it's me, a singer, and a guitarist. My dad converted to Judaism, you know, so I have obviously a different background. My dad's side is half Irish, half Native American. The Native American side are actually the slaves that married the Trudeaus. And originally,
Wamash Kanazi,
originally Eskimo.
Is that related to Ashkenazi? Closely,
Ashkenaz,
we were mountain Jews.
Ashkenaz are basically, yes, the mountain Jews of Europe.
So that's closely related.
So my mom's side is Ashkenaz.
Oh, so we're probably from the same family tree.
Probably. Most Ashkenaz Jews are like seventh cousins.
Yeah, there aren't too many of us.
Well, no, there are plenty, but at the same time, you know, Jews, there's not that many converts. So basically, and Ashkenaz Jews marry Ashkenaz Jews typically. I mean, there are some that marry people that are Sephardi, which are basically from Sepharad, which is originally Spain, but then branched out to, let's say, Morocco, France, and back out to the Middle East. Now, there are some that are originally from the Middle East that stayed in the Middle East, but my brother, for instance, married a Moroccan, and they're doing very well. They got two cute kids. They're living in Israel now. She was born in Morocco. Ashkenaz typically marry Ashkenaz, and there's not that many converts, and Sephardi Jews typically don't marry converts. It's just part of their heritage.
My Jewish
typically.
Grandmother remarried to a Muslim person.
My dad converted to Islam before he converted to Judaism, so you know, we do have something in common. My dad actually speaks Arabic.
Oh wow! Yeah, well, like it's crazy because like when you go to Israel, I feel like because I was offered to go on the birthright, which I avoided going because I felt like there was just too much violence happening.
Wait, so how old are you?
I'm 30.
You could still go. You got about maybe one or two more years before the birthright thing kind of ends for you.
What I would honestly age to 34.
The violence, it's all on TV. At this, you're if you go, you'll be fine. I've been there.
Yeah,
I've
hear
been
they
there,
have. The, like,
I've been there almost. I've been there six or seven times already.
On and the first birthright trip?
Perfect. Not on birthright. I went there on my own. But the birthright trip is basically like a fast paced tour pretty much all over Israel. And if you go, you'll love it.
Which isn't a lot of it like a desert.
Sure, but it's the thing with Israel is that you get all four seasons at once, which is kind of. Especially if you're going to go like...
That's like Virginia. You ever been to Virginia?
Sure, I went to school there. Richmond.
Oh, okay. You know, that's actually... Isn't that where the CIA headquarters is?
So my principal was former CIA.
Okay. I had a roommate
Rabbi Kleschik.
And my landlord told me that, and I didn't know.
Rabbi Kleschik was former CIA. Or at least that's what he said. We did check his credentials, so yeah. And the rabbi of the other rabbi of the school, basically he was the principal, and there's another one that's like basically one level higher than that called the Rosh Yeshiva, which is the official head of the school, and he's basically the principal, usually handles more of the secular studies and just the overall business management, and then the other one runs the Judaic studies, and everyone follows his Judaic standards. So the other one was Rabbi Chait. His brother was the lead guitarist of a musical group called the Rabbi's Sons. They were very popular in the 70s and the 80s. A lot of their songs I still play till today.
What I noticed about rabbis, though, is
And they have a lot of like bossa nova, Latin influence.
They're mostly there to quell the public's confusion about things like terror and superstitious topics, because people are lost in a way without
a lot of them are
the
just
religious
life guides,
leaders, right? Isn't that what of, most of it is really?
Well, a lot of them are basically like life life guides. I'm saying a lot of the good ones. Obviously, there are
which are no different than priests, really.
Yeah, I mean there are ones who
or Buddhist monks.
Yeah, there are people who get into, you know, get into a position in the cloth, to prove something to themselves.
All religions
some
point
people
to the
get
same
it to spread the spirituality, and some people get into it because they're just a natural leader. It doesn't matter whether you're Christian, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Buddhist or even whether you're atheist. Spirituality is something that you'll find in every culture.
Well, atheist is one even, who studies religion.
Even
and decided that he has no direction.
No, but even atheist, do you think they're void of spirituality? You can have spirituality without having a deity. It's about seeing the beauty in life, and it's about seeing the. About recognizing a lot of the things that let's say you can't understand right now.
You ever read like the book of Pi?
Science itself, sure. Science itself does not have all the answers right now, okay. But that's not for lack of trying. And I have my faith in science and technology. That they will have all the answers at some point.
It's crazy,
or
like
close
they,
to it. And at the same time,
what they did to Galileo.
When I go to rabbis for a lot of the questions, okay, they give me more questions. And when I go to scientists, they say I don't know, or we don't have a technology to explain that, or they say, well, actually,
or they say, ask Elon Musk,
or they say, well, actually, the answer is this, and they'll show you in detail of what the answer is, and that's just my path in life. I'm not recommending that to anyone. I recommend that everyone goes along whatever path makes them happy. That's what counts. If you're trying to devote your life to following answers and it doesn't make you happy, maybe stop asking questions and just focus on being happy. That's what counts. If we don't walk around being depressed, it's not a life.
That's some good advice, I would say, to remind yourself on the regular. And on that note, I'd like to thank you for this talk that we've had. Remind these people what your name is and any information they can find you on if you have a website.
Ari Pearl, that's A-R-I, Pearl like the necklace, so P-E-A-R-L, music.
Yeah, it's not Shafir. Even though I've helped him pitch a few jokes for his Jew show.
That's actually pretty good. Shafir, no, by the way, is...
With no respect to the pollution he's caused with those candles.
Well, Shafir is actually Hebrew.
Global warming.
Shafir is Hebrew for sapphire.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Shafir, really?
Shafir is Hebrew for sapphire. So,
that's his stripper name.
Well,
Ari Sapphire. You know what's crazy? There was a girl in high school that I liked. Her name was Sapphire. I hope she doesn't hear this because I'll probably feel very like blushed if I see her on the street one day. But there's also the Sapphire Club.
If you haven't seen her since high school, it's a 50-50. Well, maybe she'll.
I was going
to
ask her out to prom, and that's why I kind of didn't go because she was the only girl I wanted to go with. And
right, so the problem. So, I didn't have the balls to ask her. I went through the yeshiva system, so the only person I could ask for prom was any guy in my class. It was, it was all guys in my class. So that would have been really awkward.
Oh yeah, because Jewish people separate men and women in.
Yeah, and the thing is that they don't teach you about women.
That's kind of a bummer. Yeah, we're in New York City, people. I mean, that's why you
really
hear the motorcycle.
Like they don't teach you about women at all. Like to the point where like. You go on a date and you're like, what the hell am I going to talk about? You have to translate absolutely everything that they say and it doesn't translate because they didn't teach you jack.
That's if she'll listen if she's not on
and
meth.
And then your best advisor is usually your mom or your sister. Now just imagine how awkward that is. I would assume this is not just a Jewish thing, that like extreme Catholics or more religious Catholics probably have a similar experience. But I had a lot of learning to do. So, you know, when people say, oh, where'd you grow up? I grew up when I moved here to Brooklyn. I didn't grow up in Passaic.
Oh, yeah, I've been here since I was three.
I moved here when I was 17.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
And you knew English, so it was way easier for you.
English is not my first language.
Oh, it was Hebrew or something?
French.
Oh, no way.
My dad's French-Canadian. My mother has a degree in French, and they spoke French when I was growing up. Yeah, my dad's French-Canadian.
Oh, yeah, Canadian-Irish.
Yep.
And French.
Yep.
Oh, you didn't mention the French part at first.
Yeah, my dad's French-Canadian, so I speak French. I speak French, I speak English. I speak a little bit of German. Yiddish, I speak fluently. Hebrew, by the way, I'm terrible at. I'm so bad at Hebrew that I can get any Israeli to speak English even if they don't.
Yeah, all I know is Shalom.
And I speak a little bit of Farsi, but not much. And a little bit of Arabic.
You ever heard
sign
of
language? And I speak Japanese fluently.
Oh no! You know, I've met people that speak seven different languages, but it's funny because you said
I speak
you have,
sign language also.
Yeah, and I noticed that with sign language, I've met a few deaf people, and
well, this is my favorite.
It's very
this
natural.
Is my favorite word in sign language.
Yeah,
apple juice.
It's almost very fluid
no,
when you
is,
meet someone who's deaf, and you try to talk to them, you try to convey a way, and they instantly understand
but when
what
you
you're
think
saying.
You're going call me.
Yeah.
When you think you're going call me, that's the word for apple juice. Yeah,
really?
That. When you try to mimic a telephone and put that by your ear, you're actually saying apple juice. Look it up. Fact.
Interesting.
Is that hilarious or what?
You know, we have.
And when you think you're going driving, you're saying is milk. Now, how dumb is that? Now, so you see, my brother was autistic until he was about five, and he just he had a third degree burn, started speaking in the hospital bed, and he was let out of the hospital on 9/11.
Yeah, Musk has Asperger's.
I have Asperger's, and my brother has PDD.
You know, I could almost tell because I have attention deficit myself.
Yeah,
but I always get along with somebody who has Asperger's syndrome.
Yeah.
For some reason, and it's actually funny because most people, I'm like, not going to say terrified of being around, but like cautious.
Yeah, I love when people say that. Oh,
because
so if
I think
not
on
making,
a higher
if
level
not
of
making eye contact,
of
then you're not paying attention. Yeah. I'm like, what? So all.
I mean, your
IQ is
probably very high, right?
187, but
oh no, freaking way, dude!
All
mine's
blind. What? So all blind people have ADHD?
Dude. I've taken the ASVAB. Is that what you got on the ASVAB or something?
I qualified for Mensa, but I was too old.
They told me I qualified to become a heart surgeon, but I didn't want to see blood.
See, the problem is that I was medicated from a young age. I'm not on it anymore, thankfully.
Yeah,
I
stopped taking my
when I was like 16, but the medication left me with a tremor, so I could never become a surgeon. I mean,
damn, I only
listen,
started
taking
Adderall
at 20.
If you're
willing to be a patient, I'm willing to try. You know, I just no guarantees though. I might end up with like a little bit of a zigzag. No promises there, but I did study medicine because I did have a dream of becoming a surgeon.
You could become a pharmacist.
My grandfather was a world famous chemist actually, and physics was I had physics on my mind before. Physics was something that I was planning on studying. The issue was that the yeshiva system that I went through, the religious school system. They were not registered with the Board of Ed or the Department of Ed. So basically, whatever diploma that I was going to get was going to be the equivalent of basically, please take my dear student into your community college, which would get me nowhere respectable.
Yeah, that's why my mother took my sister out of it.
And the thing is that like the things that I wanted to go for are not things where like you can just kind of learn on the job. They're things where like if you didn't go to Yale, they're not going to talk to you. Speaking of which, my uncle's the president of Yale. My grandfather had six PhDs from Harvard before he was even 20. And the
how is that even possible?
Brooklyn Tech,
you know,
I
met a Japanese chick one time in fifth grade who and instantly went off
he
to Harvard.
He started there
Harvard.
When he was 16.
She already knew how to type before it was even a thing
16,
to go
but
on
he
a
had
keyboard.
He had a brain tumor, and the tumor was pressed against his memory center, allowing him to have a full eidetic memory. And
I would say I
kind of
have a photographic memory.
After he got the six PhD, he was like, all right, enough is enough. Let's get the surgery. The Harvard medical team operated on him and they made one mistake. So he was tone deaf after that. But he still played guitar for the next 60 years. Someone else had to tune it for him, though. He still maintained his sense of rhythm.
Wow.
That's my grandfather is Ron Salovey, S-A-L-O-V-E-Y.
I'll make sure to look
the inventor
up
of
more
PVC. And he also invented a self-lubricating joint for hip replacement that he leased to Johnson & Johnson. Made close to $200 million from that.
Wow.
He donated like $100,000 to Hillary Clinton's campaign. So, you know.
You know, I just voted. Did you vote for Kathy Hochul?
Even though. No.
Really?
Even though he was so smart, he could still be so dumb. You know, listen.
You know, they say never mention politics, but I kind of got. I took a fast
I'm a Republican. I'm a Republican conservative. But at the same time, in New Jersey, I never registered to vote in New York. I'm registered in New Jersey as an independent. I just follow the best candidate, and you know, listen, whoever's the best for the community, I'll vote for. The reason that I haven't voted yet is because I don't trust myself on a jury, and if I vote,
well, you don't want to feel guilty if you have a mistaken.
It's opinion. Not about a mistake as far as in court. It's that I've had my fair share of experience with people, and I don't know when I would be called into court. And you know, there are times that I might be a little malicious. It depends on who I'm dealing with that week or who I'm dealing with that month.
Meaning,
and I don't want someone to go to jail who doesn't deserve to go to jail.
Oh, you mean indirectly? You might be malicious.
I'm capable of swaying the court. I can give them an argument that everyone will buy. And what if I'm just in a bad mood and I just turn the whole court to follow me?
Well,
and
I've
I'm
done
wrong?
That without a law degree by just informing the right representatives.
What if I'm on the jury and I sway the whole jury, okay, and I'm wrong?
Right.
Should someone go to jail because I'm having a bad day?
I've always said I don't want to be on a jury myself.
That's
because I don't want to be in charge of someone's fate.
I would feel very guilty about that.
Although, if it was up to me and they had to decide on who had to wear the black robe, I might put that on. But I wouldn't want...
Yeah, but I would get drunk with power.
I would almost be like the young pope, and I wouldn't want people to know that I was making judgment calls. I would only want to determine them for the public to decide after the fact of me saying something, instead of me being the ultimate decision on a certain verdict for someone's innocence.
Yeah, like the issue that I have is that I can get into a philosophy argument with someone, and I could argue for God just as well as I can argue against,
like devil's advocate.
In a convincing way. And the thing is that in a court system, someone else is going to either benefit or pay the consequences for that. And I'm still going to have to live with the consequences. And that's not a risk that I'm willing to take.
Well, you can always, I guess, rewrite whatever mistakes you found in your
Let's
own findings,
Let's say I sway the court.
Right?
What? I'm going to come in after judgment is served and be like, listen, I'm sorry. I was having a bad day and I swayed the court and judgment was served. I can't do that.
Well, that's what they talk about sovereignty and how like there are sovereign citizens who understand that like, oh, I don't need a public appointed attorney. I can fight for myself in court. I can speak for myself. I'm totally conscious of my being. I don't understand why there has to be a third representative for the both of us in terms of acknowledging the innocence of whatever is brought up in court for whatever reason.
I probably would have made a good lawyer, but at the same time, I probably would have made an evil one as well.
But occasionally, it does...
I'm afraid of that.
It does entertain folks in court, I feel like, that do consider themselves sovereign citizens, that do decide one day, oh, maybe for this one, I'll need my lawyer. Maybe for this one.
Yeah.
Maybe because I don't know something about a certain subject, about whatever it is that is necessary and required of my... expertise in a certain jury case or
maybe
whatever, like and like that's why because of a track record of honesty they choose certain juries for whatever their expertise is in the of a topic that they're asked to speak about.
But at the same time, we're all human. At the same time, we're all human. And listen, if I'm having a bad day and someone who's on trial in court reminds me of someone who maybe have a bad day, I might take it out on them. Well, and I'm not comfortable taking that risk.
Well, one time I went through central bookings myself for just like even having like a knife possession on the subway, and I realized like the first few times I went through that, just for having
I've
like
had
for
a
protection.
Knife on the subway multiple times.
Yeah, just for protection because I hear other people have it, right? Yeah. And they're like, oh, you can't have one. But I knew like maybe they're just sending me there to like figure a case out or something. I don't know.
Well, were you like
as a jury
were,
or something?
Were you
I
like
don't know.
Taking it out or something? Or no, were you just randomly frisked?
It just really bothered me. Like I had to give advice to people in the jail cells that were there from other states with like legal gun ownerships.
I mean,
and they would be getting like a year. This was just like 5-10 years ago. They would be getting a year in a New York City jail cell just for carrying, not doing anything violent.
I mean,
conscientious objectors, whatever.
I've used a vape on a plane in front of the stewardess,
and it really
and I didn't get in trouble.
And people complain about
because I turned to the stewardess. I said, listen,
their lives are ruined.
I told them, I said, I am doing my best to not cause a scene. Everyone who's sitting next to me knows exactly what this is. And I'm not making a cloud above my seat.
Like
okay?
I
and the
also
stewardess,
have another...
the steward actually, was like, oh yeah, don't. I'm not gonna say anything, but like, be very careful, you know, because like, basically, if I make a cloud above my seat and anyone complains, okay, I'm in trouble, and they're not gonna cover for me. You know, but it's a live let live type society in that sense when it comes to the rules that are in the gray area.
I mean, you would consider yourself
as
conservative,
far as,
like people,
yeah,
like all the Orthodox Jewish people. Well, you're not really, even
most,
though you are young.
Most Orthodox are
like Ben Shapiro, for example.
Most,
like he's
religious.
Yeah, but he agrees with gun ownership in New York.
I agree with gun ownership in New York.
Yeah, and he, like, I have another.
I
neighbor,
think that the safest,
a pediatrician. His name is Mike. He lives. He's my next door neighbor, who's also an Orthodox Jewish person.
I mean, I think the safest areas are people where people should where people that should have guns have them.
Well, yeah, I'd rather everybody
because
have
what,
one than just criminals who don't obey the law.
100%. You think what? You think
decide
you think
to have one
what?
Anyway.
Oh, so we're going
to
ban guns? You think that the criminals are going to follow along with that? No, of course not. They're going to get them the same way that they've been getting them before, and nothing's going to change regarding that. As
of
far
course,
as
everything is necessary,
as far as
for your own protection, to
right?
Have a permit.
I mean, as far as automatic weapons, okay. I know
without a permit,
have,
your rights are
with a permit. Without a permit,
lot harder to
with,
fight for.
With a permit, without a permit, okay. I could tell you everyone that I know.
And that's what most
that
people don't understand.
Everyone I know that carries a gun.
Like I don't have one yet.
I know
I do.
One. I know one that has an automatic weapon. Okay, but that's his weapon for protection. As far as his weapons,
I do
for,
want to
for,
get one eventually.
As far as his weapons for practicing, he doesn't typically take that one out. Like he has that
false.
One is literally the safe is unlocked via his fingerprint or his wife's fingerprint.
I've heard about that on the
and
news.
And they have, and the second thing is they have also voice act. They have it also also voice activated as well. And
that's interesting. I never
at
heard
the
of
end
that
of
one.
The day, they have never had to open that safe. He went to a gun range. His
I mean,
wife
what,
went to a gun range. They went together. They actually went on dates.
Because most gun owners don't ever use their guns other than for hunting, like in the woods and stuff for deer.
Jews do not hunt, by the way.
Really?
It's against
so then
the
how
Torah.
How is kosher meat?
Kosher meat is not hunted. There's actually only one exception. Most Jews will not admit this to you, but there is one exception where Jews are actually allowed to shoot an animal with a gun and eat it. That one exception is when a...
And why is that?
If
because they just want the Christians to take the blame?
No, actually, this is something that's been covered extensively. But basically, if you slaughter a cow that's pregnant,
fired guns.
If you slaughter a cow that's pregnant, okay, the question is debated as what's the status of the calf? Is the calf considered? It's almost like the original argument as far as abortion or not. Okay, is that calf considered a live animal? And if so, does the calf need to be slaughtered? And what's called in Hebrew the maskana, or the conclusion of that argument is basically that the calf is considered alive after it is separated from the mother. But
a way to make sure it's disease-free.
The slaughtering of the mother,
the blood's
clean, applies
clean.
To the calf, to the point that even if the calf was separated and continues to be alive, that calf and all of its descendants, okay, do not need to be slaughtered, because that slaughtering of the mother then applies to that calf and all of the descendants. And that question was then brought up with a group of rabbis. Okay, are we, should we do this? Are, not only are we allowed, but should we? And
well, it's live out here. There's helicopters in the sky.
The
yeah, we got the, we got our ritual, own private security out here in Brooklyn.
It's probably a news copter, but the yeah, ritual.
No, they're not watching out for our safety. You're right. The
like the Jewish ritual slaughter, as far as you know, any animals for consumption, if there is in any way, shape, or form pain inflicted on that animal to the point of like recognition that that animal knows that it's going to be slaughtered, it is not able to be eaten according to kosher laws. To that point, that well, that animal meaning has to be cared
goes
for.
To argue grass-fed.
It better. Has to be at grass-fed, grain-fed.
It has open to range. Or
basically,
it
has to be treated with dignity, love, and respect. And it has to. And when it's slaughtered, it has to be slaughtered with no pain.
Straight to the head.
The first thing that's cut is severing the nerves between the brain and everything else.
Yeah, I think I've seen a voice
documentary. That's
the
first, that first cut, that's what it's for. And the whole point is that that animal should suffer at nothing. That's the best rabbis for slaughtering, the highest level certification, are the ones who cause no pain to the animal. That's the
but
standard.
That's what makes it kosher.
Yes, that's the standard. If there's any
you're saying
pain,
them hillbillies that go around town in somewhere, let's say like Kentucky, they just go,
right.
Oh, fuck this animal, time to eat.
Right. So when it came to the status of that that cow that had a, you know, that was the pregnant cow that had a calf, right? So because if that calf and all of its descendants, right, would be still considered kosher but would not need to be slaughtered, the decision was made to not do that because they didn't want to lose that ritual of kindness in that sense. You know, we're going to eat meat.
Well, yeah,
okay?
I went across the country one time and I saw all these chickens packed in these cages, and it was just
those
was
are not
brutal
towards,
what I saw.
Those are not going to Jewish places, I'll tell you that much.
And I don't know if they were just transporting these chickens, but I don't think they were ever going to get out.
They were not going
towards...
They were
not open-range chickens.
Well, they were not going towards the Jewish places. And I will tell you, when it comes to... Even when it comes to the, before the Jewish New Year, right? So there's a ritual that gets protested a lot, which is called kaparas, and that's when.
So how do I know my eggs are?
People pass on their eggs.
Are
you don't have
blessed.
To, so eggs are all, eggs
like
are,
the ones I get at the store that are
so
you know packed
eggs,
in those
eggs are
dozen
always
can,
eggs are always kosher. As long as they come from a kosher
cartons.
Chicken, there are 17 varieties of chicken that are not kosher. Things like, for instance, the silky chicken, for instance, is an example of that. It has a extra toe, and there's no and every kosher animal has a history that goes back well over 1,000 years. Close, some of them over 2,000 years.
There it goes again.
And that
we're standing out here in public, folks. Just so you know,
those like the silky chicken. It's a silky chicken. It looks kind of silky.
That just sounds hilarious.
And it's
silky chicken. That could be someone's rap name, like, yo, it's Silky Chicken in the Funky Bunch or something. I don't know.
And the color, well, after you take out the feathers, right, the color of the chicken and the color of the meat is black. And it has an extra toe. Taste-wise, from what I've heard, it's the same as regular chicken. But there's no, There's no Jewish law history regarding that chicken as far as what to do with that extra toe. So they follow whatever Jewish law history they had from 2,000 years ago. If that chicken was not discovered, let's say 2,000 years ago, they won't eat it even today. But when it comes to the ones that they're...
little dinosaurs from the Cretaceous era or something.
Yeah, but when... anything,
are they descendants of the T-Rex?
Any animals that... Well, any animals, any birds that are birds of prey or animals of prey are automatically not kosher because they have a certain aggression. And that aggression, you know, the old saying, you are what you eat. And that aggression...
I mean, I don't really go along with cliche sayings so much because
a certain amount is cliche, sure, but I will tell you there's plenty of variety and there's plenty of recipes. I've had venison, I've had quail, I've had pheasant.
Quail eggs are nice. I've eaten them for Whole Foods.
I've had pheasant. I've had I've had.
There's not much nutrition in them though.
I've had gazelle. There's a lot of things that you would not think are kosher. Giraffe is kosher, by the way.
Most people think caviar is
the fanciest.
And
they do know how to slaughter it. The difference is that giraffe, from the people who have had it, say that it's nasty. It's just not worth eating.
What is it, like duck?
No.
It smells bad. Duck smells bad.
Way more gamey. Honestly, I like duck. It's just hard
to... You ever
eat duck from a
Chinese food restaurant in New York?
Well, like Peking duck?
It's disgusting. It's just...
You're probably having like the cheap stuff. I've had it made well. Wow,
no offense, I love
Chinese
food out here, but not
just,
duck.
And I just felt the drop. So, yeah.
Well,
that's
hey,
a lot of helicopters.
I guess
something's going on. That's the same one circling around. Something's going
on.
Yeah,
this is probably our protection because
it has a spotlight.
Kanye's
on.
Fans are probably around us right now. You know,
no, I don't know if it's sports, they're probably strapped. No, that's a police copter. That looks like a search copter.
No, they do that whenever I spend too much time outside because I'm like a Rogan-ish character. You know Rogan, he probably got Marines following him around every time he goes outside.
Yeah.
You know, what about George W?
Dude,
or,
that sounds like
William,
Joe Biden.
William Jefferson Clinton.
Bro.
Scranton.
I saw Joe Biden outside in Times Square one time, and everybody was running over to him. And I was like, what's the big deal? That's just Joe Biden. He's a freaking politician from Pennsylvania. He doesn't do anything special. Even though, honestly, I don't hate the guy, but he's definitely not fit for office right now. Even though he's done great things because of what other people have told him.
Peter Griffin should run for president. That's right.
Yeah. Seth MacFarlane, I totally vote for the guy. You know what's funny?
He's amazing.
I actually voted for Kanye the first time he ran.
I was actually, now that after this whole thing with Kanye,
how could he say all that shit?
Right, after this whole thing with Kanye, I was like, so wait, so is he running for president or no? Like,
dude, but it's like so many Jewish people actually voted for him. I was one of them.
If he does, he's got these big balls going on.
You hear that, folks? That's New York. Don't mess with us. Don't mess with us. We got 24/7 security, 365 out here. Y'all can't bring your gang out here.
They're even lower now. Like,
yeah. They're literally like 100 feet above our head right now.
There's definitely something going. No, that's more than enough. That's like 500 feet.
Yeah, we got military security out here, but that's probably because we're talking about a lot of controversial stuff. I got suspended off of Twitter because I was just telling people sarcastic shit.
Ah, dude, I got banned from Facebook so many times. You know what's funny?
I never got banned on Facebook. I got two pages verified.
I got the blue check mark. Okay, so I had.
So
a
I guess
fat,
I'm in the CIA
had,
then, right?
Right. So I had a fat chick telling me that I should accept her for who she is, and I have a rule.
Just so the other day, what was that kind
I
of?
I have a rule when it comes to fat chicks. Okay, when you're over 250 pounds, I'm 6'2", by the way. Okay, I'm 165 pounds. If you're over 250 pounds. The average woman height, obviously, if you're taller than me, okay, and you're taller than me by like a few inches and you're over 250 pounds, okay, I'm not gonna I'm not going to call you fat, okay? Because then you're probably average for your height. But when you're... Wow. They're
that's
really
crazy.
Searching.
They're like...
They're searching.
That's got to be like...
Yeah. They're really searching
for
someone.
You think that's 50 feet?
No, no. That's higher than that. That's like... it's like now they're about 150, I think.
125 feet.
No, no, no. 150. I mean, but... yeah, if you're 250 pounds, okay, and your average height for a woman, I'm still gonna call you fat.
This is another one. You know,
tight.
And it's not because I hate fat people, okay? It's because I care. It's because I care. I think if you're
obese people across the country, like in Austin, Texas.
I eat a lot.
They were very. She was a very nice woman to me, and like the guy that was smashing her.
I was 275 pounds.
But he wanted to see me smash her, and I wasn't with it because she was 500 pounds.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
But
she was so polite.
Here it is again. So I was 275 pounds, okay? And I know that it took me 2 years. It took me 2 years to lose weight.
I wish we had this on camera.
Yeah, they're really searching. I don't know. Hi. I'm just going to wave. Because they're just looking. Hi, I'm right over here. Like, who are they looking for? But, yeah, seriously, like, I'm...
Oh, damn, I want to take a photo of it.
I was 275 pounds, okay? It took me 2 years. It took me 2 years to lose over 100 pounds. It was a tremendous amount of work. It was a, you know, and when
you
someone just goes,
pounds,
yeah,
bro?
I lost over 100 pounds.
Now let me tell you, this dude.
Now
he
when
looks
so, when someone is when someone's like, oh, if a female over
in
250
white
pounds,
button down
okay,
shirt.
Their average female height is let's say between 5'3" and let's say 5'7". What's up, bro?
Oh,
hey, what's good,
what's
bro?
Up, buddy?
Yo, so, people in the neighborhood.
If someone just goes, if a female between that height goes like, oh, I'm 250 pounds and you just got to accept me for who I am. No, you're a fat fuck. I'm sorry.
Dude, now okay? This is why they hate the Jews.
It's not like nothing that. To do, nothing to do with race.
No, we can't say anything.
Nothing to do with race, nothing to do with
you
religion.
Can't tell
okay,
people
I
they're
was,
unhealthy.
I was,
that's not
no,
fair.
They're unhealthy, and they need to know that because, like, it's stop eating fast food. Do you have to go to the gym for 2 hours a day?
I mean, there
no,
should be a cutoff.
You don't.
Like, let's
no,
just say
you don't have to go to the gym
300
two hours
pounds.
A day. I'm saying
and that's if you're pure
no,
muscle.
I'm saying 250. I'm saying 250, and I'm saying fat because obviously the assumption based on that is that they're not muscle. Okay, if they're muscle and 250. By all means, go for it.
Well, they got to be at least 50 pounds of fat.
Okay, but at the same time, if you're 250 and you're if you're 250 and you're a woman, you need to lose weight. Guys do not have to accept you for who you are. You need to lose weight, and I'll tell you why.
This is gonna make Cotty angry.
Do I want no?
He likes fat asses.
Do I or any other guy? does anyone want to marry someone who has a risk of potentially dropping dead at 50 from a heart attack? Does anyone really want that worry? You know, when we marry anyone, okay, we're going to worry about our spouse. We're going to worry about our kids. We're going to worry about our future. Do we really want to sign up for that worry? We're not saying that because we hate fat people, okay? We're saying that because we care.
It'll save you from...
We're saying that because we care. And I personally am saying that because I understand, okay? Heart disease runs in my family. Obesity has run in my family before, and I was over 275.
I'm not gonna ask you to show me 165. Any photos.
I have
that's actually exactly how much I am, 165.
Yeah,
and I'm 6'1", but you're only an inch taller than me.
And my dad has type 2 diabetes. He's managed it into remission through diet. You know, he's not overweight. He just eats better. And it's something that really anyone can do. And you know, if you're really craving like fast food, channel that craving into good cooking, and you'll never regret it.
Yeah, maybe eat
Use
like a
fresh,
salad or two.
You, no, not necessarily. You can continue eating chicken. You can eat meat, whatever it is. Use fresh herbs. You'll never regret it. Whatever recipe you want, you will find it on
YouTube.
This
woman I was
you
with yesterday,
find it on YouTube.
She got me a
You'll
salad. I was like, oh, that's totally what I just needed because I don't need enough vegetables.
I grow my own vegetables. And honestly, taste-wise, I have a hard time eating at restaurants because the food is so freaking good.
Well, by depending me. On where you go.
No, by me. I go to restaurants and I'm like, this tastes like fast food. Like they're taking, like they're taking shortcuts. Like they're adding MSG or.
I like honestly, deli food I, almost more than like restaurant food sometimes because you're kind of taking a chance. Because like I've been to so many restaurants where like I was like, yeah. Ew, what the hell is this?
I went it's to some all places mucky in Israel that were
and
amazing.
Mushed together from like you know the food isn't even separated, like.
There's
Bobby
a place,
Shmurda had this episode. Like,
well, there's
this
a place near
episode
here.
On his Instagram where he was like, "Oh, the rice was it had too much water in it. It was in Atlanta."
Well, rice is
and
something.
It was just like
rice disgusting. Is something that if you want good rice, get someone from the Middle East to make it for you, or get someone from the East to make it for you. They know their rice; they'll love it. But when it comes to food, there's a place near here called Bakar. They have the best meat. I have paid over there $200 to $300 for two portions, and I've never regretted it.
Wait, is that the one on so Coney Island Avenue and like Kings Highway almost?
J&K.
They have pork chops for like it's like $200.
J&K.
I think because I've gotten two pork chops there for like.
No, they definitely
like,
don't have pork chops.
This is way too expensive for pork chops, but this is a one-time thing.
J&K and Coney, it's like a hole in the wall type place. They have good wine. They have. They grow
well, some of these
own,
Jewish
they
grow, liquor they stores
their,
they got
they grow
wine
their own
for
herbs,
like three
and
a half
while you're
grand.
Sitting there, the owner is gonna the owner is there a lot of the time. He'll come in and make sure that you're all taken care of. Like he's one of those old school Middle Easterners, you know. He'll come in, he'll be like, oh, just you know, what do you think of the food? He'll hook you up. He's one of those types, and he loves food. He has pride in his food. He has pride in his chef. His chef knows what he's doing. I love it over there, and whatever I've paid over there, I wouldn't pay anywhere else. This place is just, it is heaven.
Well, I'll make sure to visit them. Anything else you want to tell the crowd? Because
yeah,
we got
sushi
about, like, 3 minutes here.
Sushi
Taim. Recording.
They, don't tell anyone, but they have a fish tank. Yeah. Their sushi is the freshest sushi you're going to get anywhere in New York City. Absolutely worth going to, and that's. J&K 13 and 14. I'm on J between 13 and 14. Absolutely worth going to. I'm a foodie.
And just so y'all know, I'm not getting paid for allowing this shameless plug
they're
to
not
happen.
They're not paying
but
me.
I'm sure
they're not paying me for it. I'm just telling you, I'm speaking from the heart over here.
I left a lot of reviews on Google, and that's why like they make sure nobody spits in my spaghetti. Like they did with M&M.
Oh, wow.
Because I always make sure, like, if I don't leave a review, I either leave a 5-star or a no star. Because 100%. I don't want to be, like, a bad critic for people.
100%.
People have definitely appreciated when I leave, like, a 5-star review whenever I go
100%.
Anywhere. And that way I avoid conflict.
100%.
And because sometimes they probably might still spit in my food if I leave like a 4.5-star. Where's the other half the star? Or the 3.5? Oh, my God.
You
I'm
go
done.
To sushi Taim, you'll never regret it. Trust me on that one.
Their
fish is so fresh. You walk in there, there's no smell of fish. That's how you know you got a good place.
Yeah, I think we kind of talk longer than we expected here. But just so they know, I know you mentioned it before. What's your name? And if you have a website, people can go to check
Ari Pearl Music. ARI. Pearl is in the necklace. PARL. Music. MUSIC.
Cool.
And you'll find me on Instagram. You'll find me on Facebook. Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for getting on my podcast. And,
yeah, my pleasure.
I hope people have learned a lot from what you had to say, and we'll join you guys next time. Thanks.
Yeah.